I went down, and I'm sitting there as a kid, you know, and it was this German haircutter. He was a barber, very official kind, you know, with the collars that are sort of sunken into his neck, big rolls of stuff hanging out down there, and little thin hair. And he's, "Well, how are you, little boy?" And he's cutting around there and all that, and it takes him about 30 seconds to do my hair, which was much better than Chuck. Chuck would stop and pick his teeth and listen to the radio and look out of the window and all that stuff, and I like this. Well, I got home. I arrived home, and there was a moment, terrible moment of silence. My mother looked at me and says, "You go right back there and tell them they gave you a rotten haircut, and tell them to start over again and do it right." Oh, boy. What an embarrassing thing. Of course, you see what, you know, how if you can imagine a bad haircut on a kid. It's a funny thing. It looked like a little fungus on the top of a bowling ball I had gotten, and somehow she wanted him to fix it. So I went back to the haircuttery, and all the way back, it's like I'm approaching doom or something, to have to go in and tell the barber, "You did a terrible job. My mother says it was an awful haircut, and you got to fix it." And I'm working my way back, and I get in front of this haircut place, and they had this big haircut thing out there. You know, the barber pole that's spinning around, and it's spinning, and I'm looking around the barber pole, and it was this big thing on the front there, you know, and the barber, Lucky Tiger hair tonic, and all the guys were sitting. There must have been 48 guys in there by this time. All the guys from the mill have arrived, and they're all sitting around picking their teeth and listening to the radio and talking, and I'm waiting outside for my moment. And I knew I couldn't do it, and I knew I had to do it. I could not go back home and say, "He fixed it." And there it is, you know, the same old ears sticking out, and the knobs and all that, and the tufts everywhere. You can't fake that. And I sweated it out for about, oh, it must have been about 2 hours, and it was Saturday, and the haircut place stayed open until 9 that night. And I stood past supper time until finally there was hardly anybody in there. And I went sneaking in, and he says, "What do you want, kid? Did you get your change?" And he says, "Hotto, did you give him his change?" There's always a head haircut man, you know. And the head haircut man is the one who handles the money. He's usually in the chair next to the window. Otto was the guy in the last chair who had given me my haircut. And I did not know what I was about to perpetrate. I walked in. He says, "What's the matter, kid?" This was the head one. He says, did you lose your change? Did you forget something in the shop?" He had recognized me. I said, "No." "So what's the matter?" And Otto is sitting in his chair all the way in the back. Big old fat Otto with a mustache and that thin hair, the big rolls of fat hanging down over his collar. And Otto looks at me, and I think Otto must have known. He just looked. And I said, "My mother said that you're going to have to do my haircut over." And the head haircut man looked back at Otto, and Otto looked at me. He says, "What is the matter with your haircut?" "My mother said it isn't a good haircut. You're going to have to do it over again." "Okay, kid, come on back here." And I sat in the chair, and the man up in the front didn't say anything. He's up there counting the cash, and Otto is working over on me. He is very carefully clipping. He is working. It takes him about a half an hour, and I'm sweating. Very embarrassing. Nobody says anything, and I'm just a kid sitting there sweating it out. And Otto was cutting my hair. And I don't know what this, you know, there's a kid, 9-year-old kid, talk to the barber. The barber doesn't talk to the kid now. Usually they do. And I'm just getting cut, and went all the way down. And he cut and cut and cut and cut and cut and cut. And finally, the man back of the cash register came over, and he says, "Let me look at it." He says, "Okay, it's okay." And Otto didn't say anything. He put his scissors down and his brush down. And I got down off the chair, and I start to walk out. And the man at the cash register says, "Tell your mother that if she's still unhappy, I'll do it myself. Okay?" And I turned around and I said, "Yeah, okay." And Otto says, "Goodbye, little boy." And I went out, I walked all the way home, and I felt awful. Oh, boy, I don't know. It was a moment of revelation. But, you know, I wasn't worried about Otto at all. It wasn't 100 years later I realized what had happened. I was worried about me. "Don't worry about it, will you?" I was worried about me. All the way back home I go, sweating it out. And I get home, and my mother looked at me, and she says, "You look terrible. You look terrible." And, boy, moment of revelation. And, you know, the haircut trauma is a trauma I'm sure that no girl has ever had. And always, no, they don't really have that trauma. I'm sure they don't. They have hairdo traumas, but that's another thing entirely. You know, that's little ipsy-poo stuff. But when you're, oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes. But when you're sitting there and you're a man and you're sitting in the barber chair, do you know that there's a barber shop down on 28th Street called the No Embarrassment Barber Shop? So, speaking of embarrassments, this is WORAM, and you got the thing in there, E.T.?